Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, fellow slaves of the plantation. The Vinnie Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show, where the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child-trafficking Satanists is Vinnie's jokes. And my very special guests that are joining me today are Guy Hatchard and Dr. Rima Labo. Say hello, guys.
Hi.
Which one are you? Are you Dr. Rima Labo or are you Guy Hatchard? Just checking.
Yeah. Okay, so today we've got nothing planned per se. Guys are always sending out all these emails with all these amazing updates about things that are going on in the world of New Zealand. And, of course, what happens to New Zealand affects the world. Now, before we begin, of course, I would like to direct everybody to the website, riveroflies.co.nz, which Guy and myself are featuring in, as well as Dr. Rima Labo. Billy TK's hustling real hard to put that puppy together, especially in the wake of Jacinda deciding that she's going to step down. Like in about 2 weeks or so from now, she'll be out of office, thank goodness. Our very special sponsors for this show are Reopen.nz, a directory of anti-mandate, pro-choice, all-inclusive businesses in New Zealand. So if you have a business in New Zealand and you would like to support the cause, please go ahead and go to Reopen.nz and add your freedom business today. HoldenHealthcare.com, integrative natural health. Dr. Holden is a specialist naturopathic oncologist, and he specializes in hard to treat cases. So if you've been through the medical ringer and had drug after drug and side effect after side effect, and you would like to instead give your body the real tools it needs to heal itself, go to HoldenHealthcare.com. Medical disclaimers are on the website there. The Vinnie Eastwood Show is donor supported, so please go to Vinnie Eastwood.com and donate through PayPal, Kiwi Bank, or support the band on Patreon. We're going into the studio today to record the guitar for Happy Birthday, a song we wrote about 12 years ago, which we've been sending people on their birthdays for all that time, and now we're finally getting into the studio to make it right. So we do need a significant amount of support on that front, and we have a baby on the way. My partner Rebecca is about maybe a week away or less from her due date, so there's going to be a little mini Vinnie out there very shortly, ladies and gentlemen, and we do need some help to cover the costs of just having a baby kind of thing. So need a new pram and a bunch of other things to help with breastfeeding, etc. So if you can help us, please go to VinnieEastwood.com and donate today through the Kiwi Bank, Patreon, and PayPal, what you can see on screen for the live listeners. Now, my very special guests are Dr. Rima Labo and Guy Hatcher. Guy, you like PhD or something?
Yeah, sure. Yes, no, I have a PhD in psychology. My undergraduate degree was in theoretical physics.
All right, as you do. Okay, so discussion points for today. Guy, I'd like you to lead us off because you're often sending out large quantities of emails about all sorts of like freaky stuff, and I'd like you to just kind of like give us a little bit of a test breather for us.
Well, yeah, we're in a very unusual situation, and we're wondering why it's all happening. We're seeing in the UK all-cause deaths running at 30%, same in above historical levels, same in Scotland, US, high levels of all-cause excess deaths, Australia, heart attacks up 17% last year. And everyone's looking the other way. And today I was kind of wondering about, you know, how could this happen? How can people look the other way? And enter the cognitive miser effect. People would rather have comforting ideas, even if they're not true, than look into something. So this kind of predisposes people to avoid digging too deep into what's going on. So, yeah, cognitive miser. And then some people would rather not know. Woody Guthrie, for example, died of Huntington's disease. Now, that's caused by a genetic defect, and it runs in families. So you can have a test to find out if you have Huntington's, because if you do, there's a way of knowing kind of actually when you're going to die. But it turns out only about 10% of people actually get the test. So when faced with a serious health issue, which is what is happening right now, most people actually would rather not know. That's the situation that we're faced with. Things are going wrong, but people are looking the other way, and they're inventing a kind of convenient explanations that don't make any sense. For example, Canada, they're having very high levels of stroke. And Dr. Raj Bhardwaj appeared on the Canadian Broadcasting Channel, CBC, and he said he discovered that there is such a thing as a stroke season. There's a kind of a season when people have strokes in large numbers. And he said he had never noticed it before, but he now realizes that it is real. In other words, suddenly lots of people are having strokes, so let's call it a stroke season. Or if lots of people are having heart attacks, like in Australia, let's say, oh, well, it must be due to COVID, or perhaps people are drinking too much, or they're fed up with lockdowns, or anything to have that simple cognitive miser effect. And actually, there are really no reliable statistics to back these ideas up. They're plucked out of a hat. So we're in a crisis. And I wrote an article yesterday. Have we crossed the Rubicon, or are we actually being rowed across the River Styx, which is the entryway to hell? I'd go for the Styx, because no one's telling anyone what's happening. But if you look at the statistics, it's clear that it is happening. And people are rushing to hide it, even.
Like to get Rima to weigh in on this cognitive miser effect with her vast years of experience in really seeing this phenomenon at play. Go ahead, Rima.
Thank you. First of all, let me say that I am thrilled to hear your discussion. We have not encountered each other, Guy, but you're absolutely correct. Once people make a decision, rational or not, and most of the decisions that people make about what to believe and where to put their alliance is not done rationally. One has only to look at the business that matrimonial attorneys have to understand how frequently that happens. And then there's politics, of course. So we're talking about people who have made decisions to believe something based on fraudulent, illogic, non-science, and then having believed in it and having polluted their bodies and their children's bodies in many cases and marked themselves for death, unless we figure out how to detoxify and disinfect people from what they've been injected with or infected with through transmission of one sort or another, then we are looking at people who are literally marching themselves to the grave rather than face the truth of what has been done to them, what they vigorously participated in, and what is happening to them. It's quite an extraordinary phenomenon from a social psychology point of view, and it's a massive tragedy from a human point of view. And from a medical point of view, it's insane. I was thinking as you were talking about this silliness of stroke season, and I saw the video that this guy did, and I thought, wait. You have your head so far up your posterior that not only can you not find your stethoscope, you can't see daylight. It was really extraordinary. It was an amazing gymnastic, ascientific activity that this doctor carried out. But I was thinking that the globalists, the Davosites, would call this a stroke of luck, because that's what they want. They want to get rid of us, and they want us to not give them any trouble and to say, please, please, and could you do more? But in the United States, a recent Rasmussen, which is a reliable, fairly well-respected polling organization, the Rasmussen poll says that 49% of the people that they accessed in the United States believe that the jabs are causing the excess deaths and significant adverse events. So even this hypnosis, this magic trick, is beginning to break down. The problem is people who have been injected and people who have been infected are going to die unless we can figure out how to reverse the impact of this from the genetic level outward. So it's pretty serious stuff. And make something funny out of that, Vinny.
It is serious.
Yeah, I do my best. Now, the problem is with things being so serious is that you often lose your survival instincts, right? I was talking with Billy TK about this last night on the show, and he was talking about how there's a lot of people out there who are talking about, let's hang the politicians, let's hang the BlackRock executives or the Pfizer, and he's like, no, this is not the right approach. You need a calm, reasoned approach for when you're going up against an enemy this big and this organized, and if you don't, you're doing a disservice to humanity.
You need a calm, reasoned approach, but you also need to have an objective in mind. My objective at the moment is to get as many countries as possible out of the WHO, the World Holocaust Organization, and the United Nations, for which reason I urge people to go to preventgenocide2030.org and either take action there if your country is represented or become involved in creating an action to put a wave of pressure on the gatekeepers. But we also have to have justice served. So eventually these monsters, these criminals, these genocidalists do need to be brought to justice if we have any hope of rebuilding what is being destroyed.
I
was just going to say, if you wanted society to be back on the right track, you need to do what's right, and punishing the guilty does seem right. It seems like a balancing of the equation, but it shouldn't be like some kind of a mob rule type thing. I mean, no. We hung Nazis and things like that. Of course, the guy who did it wasn't very good at it, and a lot of these poor Nazis, if I can really use that term, strangled horribly to death, and actually terrified some of the people who came to witness these executions. So, you know, let's think about after 9/11, this black congresswoman, she came out and she says, as we act, let us not become the evil that we act against.
Indeed.
Sorry, you were saying, go ahead.
I think you have to... The context of your discussion is the fact that we're living in a rational society, and increasingly we're not living in a rational society. That's a huge challenge. The fact is, you look at people like Steve Kirsch, simply no one will debate with him. You're looking at a polarized society. And that's quite a different challenge. And one has to ask oneself, this is one of the things I'm concerned with very much, is where do these ways of thinking come from? And my conclusion is that the vaccination process has an effect on the way people think. So genes are definitely connected with our psychological, our logical, our mental profile, and producing, you know, interfering with the way the genes are expressing themselves can interfere with the way we express ourselves. And that's quite a challenge. I write about this at globe.global. At globe.global, we have a campaign for legislation outlawing biotechnology experimentation. And this is one of the areas that we're looking at. And I think it's very little understood. And that is a feature of our understanding of biotechnology intervention. It does a lot more than we realize. And in fact, if you look into it, it's been known to be the situation for a long time. Gene therapy has been considered to be dangerous. Transplants give an indication that, you know, you put different genetic material in people, then they start to behave and think differently. So we have to, you're absolutely right that we have to find a way to reverse this. That's going to be quite challenging because we're not in a situation where anybody, enough people have even recognized the fact that something has gone wrong.
You make several really, really important points. You don't even need to get to gene therapy to know that these jabs, which of course are not vaccines, that these jabs are having neurological impacts. The end product is the stroke. It is the dementia. It is the decline in functioning. It is the fog of long COVID, so-called. Of course, it's not that at all. But think about it on a physiological basis. Inflammation causes neurological problems. The inflammation of the central nervous system causes changes in thinking, in judgment, in functioning. And we know that these jabs, or the transfection from people who are jabbed into people who haven't been actually jabbed, we know that these materials, either injected or transfected, cause neurological inflammation as well as cardiac inflammation and other inflammatory processes in the body. And those cause behavioral changes, irrational.
Oh, and unfortunately, that's all we've got for the break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back in just a few minutes. My very special guests are Guy Hatchard, PhD, and Dr. Rima Labo. We'll be right back at VinnieEastwood.com. You're listening to RepublicBroadcasting.org. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting Sundays, what is it, 5 p.m.? No, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Sundays in the United States, and that would make it a Monday at 11 a.m. local New Zealand Standard Time. We go for 1 hour a week, ladies and gentlemen. Just got the show on the pilot light for a little while we're sorting out all our things that are going on at home here with a new baby and so on and so forth. We're back to regular broadcasting anytime soon. My very special guests are Dr. Rima Labo and Guy Hatchard, PhD. Thank you guys very much for joining me.
You were talking about inflammation. It's something I've been thinking about today. We're facing an epidemic of strokes, blood clots, microclots, cardiac conditions, including myocarditis, new cancers and cancer recurrence, immune deficiency, neurological conditions, and also reproductive issues. So these are the kind of serious conditions that we're facing. And you're right that a common thread that runs throughout these is high levels of inflammation. So there are things that we can do about inflammation. And there are a number of herbal and even kitchen spices and so on that have a huge impact on inflammation. Things like turmeric, ashwagandha, ginger. These are things that ought to be thoroughly investigated and used at home, because that's an element of maintaining health. There are, one of the things that's happened with this pandemic, again, which is a psychological characteristic, is people have been bamboozled by statistics, and they don't realize how large an effect different interventions have. A lot of interventions have very, very small impacts. For example, for cardiac conditions, only about 1 in 100 people are benefited by statins. But if you change your diet and have a lighter diet, the impact could be 50, 60 times larger than the statins. People, because they don't have statistical or mathematical sophistication, they have been bamboozled by public relations into thinking that a lot of things work but don't work, and not bothering with a lot of very natural approaches to health that in fact have a huge impact. Some of the studies during the pandemic, for example, people who follow a vegetarian diet had a 70% less chance of being hospitalized. 70%, that's huge. Or a pescatarian diet, 56% less impact. People who worked shifts, who got very tired and put their biorhythms out, they had a 1/3 increased chance of hospitalization. People who did regular exercise, again, had a massive drop in, a massive improvement, let's put it that way, in their outcomes from COVID. So
these interventions, these facts, these natural methods of using nutrition, supplements, herbals, these things have been demonized. I am a physician who for the last almost 53 years has practiced entirely drug-free medicine and psychiatry. And the vicious, continuous, and now accelerating demonization of what we do in order to help people avoid drugs. And by the way, I would contend that statins help no one, because they actually increase your cancer, stroke, and cardiovascular disease risk. Bad idea. But these realities are directly threatening to the pharmaceutical hegemony. And if you look at the COVID scamdemic, the propagandemic, as I call it, from the point of view of not only control, but increasing and solidifying the pharmaceutical hegemony, which has depopulation at its core and always has since the days of John D. Rockefeller forward, then what you see is that everything that we can do for ourselves now is the demon zone, if you will, whereas everything that can be done to us is glorified if it's negative in its final effect. It's really quite interesting.
Yes, the world turned upside down. It's an educational process that we have to go through. And you're right also that we have to pinpoint what's gone wrong and who's gone wrong. We're now seeing evidence that the Biden administration sought to discredit journals like the BMJ, the British Medical Journal, which started publishing articles raising some safety signals with vaccination quite early on. So we're seeing actors out there in the global space.
Oh, we'll be right back in just a few moments after these messages, ladies and gentlemen. My very special guests are Guy Hatchard, PhD, and Dr. Rima Labo. We'll be right back on Republic Broadcasting.
To the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Welcome back. ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills of the Truth Movement radio circuit. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on republicbroadcasting.org. And my very special guests are Guy Hatchard, PhD, and Dr. Rima Labo. Guy, please continue where you left off, if you can remember it.
Well, let's just segue into control of natural health products, something that Rima raised. This is what's happening here in New Zealand. We've got new legislation coming in called the Therapeutic Products Bill, which is basically seeking to control thousands of natural products and substitute them with synthetics. So there are over 3,000 synthetic products being legalized, and a vast number of kitchen items they want to control, things like eggplant or mustard. Or you have to ask yourself, why would the government want to control what we eat anyway, but why would it want to control something like an eggplant? Well, an eggplant has compounds in it that are very similar to steroids, and it's a kind of reverse patenting where you say that we're going to use parts of this plant in a medicine, and once we've used parts of the plant, then really the medicine is what's important, and we don't want people taking the plant. So let's stop the plant and substitute the medicine. It's a form of reverse patenting, which our government has decided to endorse. And the way they're doing it, actually, is rather the way that Hitler controlled his population. They're appointing a regulator, and he will decide for us what we're allowed to eat, what we're allowed to have as our health choices. And he's allowed to do pretty much anything he wants. So it's an enabling bill, just like they had an enabling bill for Hitler, saying, well, Hitler is now the unopposed supreme leader, and anything he decides goes. So this is what we're facing. We've defeated this bill twice already here in New Zealand, but it's back again, and it's kind of in a different sort of form. It sounds fairly innocuous. It says we're appointing a regulator, and he'll protect you from anything that is unsafe. Whereas look at the subtext, and they want to control anything that's healthy. And now you think about it, they say anything that's healthy should be a medicine and your doctor should prescribe it. Well, lemons are healthy. Lemons cure scurvy. So should we go to our doctor if we want advice about whether we should eat a lemon? Obviously not. It's ridiculous. That's the kind of absurd logic that is being applied to us.
This same strategy was tried in the United States about 12 years ago, and we found out about it. It was deceptively not published in the Federal Register as it is supposed to be, and it was announced between Christmas and New Year's when nobody's paying attention. And we found out about it, and we gave people an opportunity to ride their freedom mice and tell the FDA, that's the Fraud and Death Administration, about it. 688,000 people contacted them over the weekend, crashed their email system, and they dropped it. The guy who had brought it forward said, I'm not Darth Vader, in an interview with the Wall Street Journal, but actually he probably is Darth Vader. The same thing, then when I lived in Thailand in 2007 and 8, the same thing was brought forward in Thailand. It's also been brought forward several times in Australia, and now you've got it for the third time in New Zealand. This is a worldwide program to control every aspect of you into the grave or into the slave pen. This is precisely intended to make you unhealthy and totally dependent on government sources of symptom suppression called allopathic medicine. And then they can kill you when they like, or they can keep you suppressed and dependent in your 16 square meters of space under Agenda 20, which is now Agenda 2030. This is both genocide and enslavement. And if you put up with it, you're going to get exactly what you deserve. I don't mean you, Guy, and you, Vinny, but I mean people.
It's we have to stand up. We've stood up before. We're going to stand up again. We're organizing a campaign here and pointing out the absurdity of it and the absurdity of the idea that government should start to control almost everything that we do. It's absurd. And as you say, it's at the same time, it's rather sinister. And, you know, this is not being a cognitive miser. This is actually being a serial killer when you start to, you know, when you start to look at it. And, you know, it's unacceptable in every way. And
well, I've always said that genocide is just rude. And I don't know about you, Guy, and you, Vinny, but my mother brought me up to believe that you just don't do rude things to other people. Genocide is just rude.
Yeah. we're in very strange times, and this is when we really have to stand up. We can't sit this one out. We can't sit out what is happening to us all over the world. We actually have to speak up. And then to all those people who are, I think it's very difficult. You know, people took a position on this pandemic. You know, they proudly said, I took one for the team. I'm vaccinated. This is my position. They told their families. They told their colleagues at work that.
We had rings around people's Facebook profile. The big yellow rings that says, yeah, I'm vaccinated for Aotearoa. And then one of my listeners had a great one. It was a yellow ring around her face on the Facebook, and it says, I've got a stupid yellow ring around my face.
Well, you know that, and now a lot of people, as you correctly said, Rima, have realized that, you know, sure, they're vaccinated, but they realized that they weren't vaccinated. They've changed their mind. Maybe something happened to a relative or a friend or even themselves. And everybody knows someone like that. And, you know, now you have to take the step to start to speak up. And that's quite a difficult psychological step to take, because you've erected a public profile, you made a public statement, and now you're going to go back on yourself. Well, you really have to do that, because to start to move the democratic process, if such a thing still exists, you have to stand up and speak up and be brave about it. And you have to start to inform yourself exactly what is going on. And that's what this program's all about.
And what's difficult about this is that we've kind of proven in New Zealand with the Wellington protest, myself and Billy's arrest, the deplatforming of many of the freedom voices and things of that nature, that we don't have free speech nor peaceful assembly in this country. Like, those options have already been taken. What other options are left available to us, you know?
I have made the diagnosis as a physician who treats the body politic, if you will, that New Zealand is collectively suffering from VD, which is vestigial democracy. you have the form of it remaining, the husk, but it's hard to understand what the democratic process actually means in New Zealand. And New Zealand is just one of the many harbingers of disaster, political disaster for the rest of the body politic. So
yeah, absolutely,
it's terrifying.
We have no constitutional arrangements here. What this government did was realize that in New Zealand, without a constitution, without protections, that just traditions. We had a few traditions. They realized they could do anything that they wanted, and they went ahead and did it, irrespective of what the people thought. And they realized they could control the media, so they started funding the media. They realized that they could kind of insist that the regulators and the courts follow their line, so they did that. They realized they could reach an agreement with social media to exclude anything that criticized them, so they did that. Because there are no constitutional, we had a Bill of Rights, but they simply brushed it aside. The Bill of Rights actually had a clause in it.
We have a constitution, and I don't know that it's doing us all that much good in the United States.
Well, it's doing you some good. it's doing you some good because you have voices speaking up far more than we do.
So what are your options? For instance, with this absurd, let's make sure everybody is unhealthy and let's take away garlic and eggplant and cinnamon and so on from people lest they be healthy. What are your options?
Our options are to absolutely do what you did in the United States, is to flood our politicians. We have an election coming up this year. Also, we need candidates who have got a stated position that is a better position. And our options are also educational. We have to have a kind of rational voice that reaches those that can be reached. And that's what my website's all about, HatchardReport.com. It's reference scientific discussion. It goes out almost every day. You can sign up for a regular email. Those are our options now, and we're networking.
Let me invite you to yourself or send someone to Prevent Genocide 2030. We have a worldwide community, an action center. We meet 6 days a week. Not everybody comes to the meeting. I do because it's my Zoom. And we are creating global action items country by country by country. So if you will send somebody to participate at Prevent Genocide 2030, then we can work with you. We have a tool that allows you to create action items that can be sent to your legislators in mass. You can have millions of people sending them to all of your legislators, and we'll help you do that.
Excellent. Let's do it. I mean, this is what we have to do. Everybody has to speak up. Now we have to hold up our hands and we have to say, you know, we have to hold up what's real.
Well, we need our three fingers. The three most important words go with the hand gesture, as I'm concerned. These are the three most important words that a free man or woman can utter. They are, don't you dare. And then we have to find methods of saying to these monstrous sycophants and worse, don't you dare. And one of them is to flood them with public demand of what they must do if they wish to remain in their wonderful cushy jobs and not prosecuted in various ways.
We have a lot of political parties that have formed here during the pandemic, and they've got a lot of interesting policies. They're not united in the sense that perhaps we need to be. And, there are some issues that we're discussing.
The issue was, of course, we found out last election with Billy TK and the Advanced New Zealand Public Party went up, that they got censored by the social media. I think it was 3 weeks out from election day, and the mainstream media did enormous hit pieces and demonization, like little documentaries about the leader, Billy TK, at the time. So again, like with protesting, like with a free speech online, the government has, and government means mind control, by the way, from the original Latin governe and mente, but that's beside the point. At the moment, anyway, we have literal mind control in charge of us, and I don't think a political solution is really going to be viable, if only but for a moment to just have the opportunity to have a say and maybe link people up, because I think during that campaign with Billy TK, despite the fact that it was sabotaged and was unsuccessful ultimately, it did make a lot of people in this country realize that they weren't alone. And since then, many, many, many people have started up their own YouTube channels and social media accounts and political parties and so on and so forth. It was like, what was his name? The guy from HuffPassHuman.com, Cliff High. I told him one time that humanity's spirit of resistance is kind of like a spring. The more you push down a spring, the harder it will resist you. You get it pushed all the way down, it's going to resist you all the more, and you have to keep the pressure on, otherwise it's just going to pop and be free, right? And he said to me, no, Vinny, use an organic example. Humanity is more like a water spring. And what happens when you try to push down water that's bursting through to the surface? It starts burrowing sideways through rock and through sand and through stone, and it starts bursting through to the surface from places you cannot expect or comprehend.
I think... go for it, Rima.
Thank you. I, unfortunately, because of time compression, I have to leave, but I am so delighted, first of all, to have met you, Guy, and to have shared a little time with you, Vinny. I love what you're doing. Any way we can support it, we will. And have me back on again. PreventGenocide2030.org.
PreventGenocide2030.org, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much, Rima, for joining us, and you have yourself a wonderful evening.
Vinny, I think, you know, it absolutely fascinating that you, looking at the origin of the name government, mind control, basically, so interesting. But of course, they can't control your mind. I mean, one of the things I'm absolutely interested in, have been all my life, is meditation and the effect that that can have on health. And also the effect that it can have on the collective consciousness. You know, people influence one another and they create a collective consciousness. And the collective consciousness in turn influences all the members. So you go to New York and you feel kind of enlivened, energized, because that's the collective consciousness there. So if you have even a small number of people practicing meditation and getting that sort of silent orderliness that you develop through regular meditation, then you improve the society that you live in. It's another kind of technology, another kind of strategy that the government actually can't control, is what's up here. That's,
I mean, like, you can't protest, you can't speak out, and you can't run against them politically. Why don't we meditate against them? You know, like, honestly, all options have to be on the table here, bro.
Yeah, they do. They do. I think it was Tennyson who said, they also serve who only stand and wait. It's a kind of, you know, there's an enormous power in silence. And as a physicist, You locate actually the center of the laws of nature, which are actually the laws of nature are what are actually ruling the planet, then it's in a least excited state. So that least excited, unified level of nature's functioning is what is controlling the laws of nature. And that's what you can tap into through meditation. And that has an influence.
There was a story in, what was it, I think it was in Washington, D.C., murder capital of the world. It wasn't always that, but then they passed a handgun ban and it became that. So I'm not sure of the mechanics here, but they had a meditation, I think it was 3,000 people, in order to meditate to bring the murder rate down by 30%. And the local police chief was quoted as saying it would take 6 feet of snow in order to reduce the murder rate that much. They did their meditation, and it did reduce.
Yeah, it did. It did. My wife went to that course, traveled from New Zealand to Washington, D.C. to participate in that experiment. And it was prospective. It was predicted in advance. There were predictions given to the people in authority there. But of course, people, you know, look the other way, but it doesn't invalidate the technology. You know, I think we exist in groups, whether we realize it or not. We're connected to people and other people in where we live, other people in our families, and how we are mentally, our mental balance affects the other people in our group. So meditation is definitely a strategy that, and in fact, there are a lot of studies that it improves health. There are a lot of studies that improves intellectual achievement, academic performance, and so on. So this is something that the government can't control. It's something that the government really needs for themselves, actually. I think that little beehive where they're all running around in circles might greatly benefit from a bit of silence and a bit of reflection on a daily basis.
Yeah, we'll just have a big one of those big signs, you know, when you go into a room and it just tells you what the rules are and stuff like that. Just four letters, S and three H's. Shh! Just, if you're getting into politics, the most important thing you need to do is shh!
It's a terrible situation that we're in, but there's some kind of joy in it, really, Vinny. I mean, that, you know, it's an adventure. It's like a quest that we're on, actually. You know, we all read Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit or something when we were young, and this is a quest. It's unlocking a puzzle. How to give a positive direction to the society that we live in. And a lot of things that we've discovered about the kind of society we've lived in, they've been going on for a long time, you know this. And it's just that they've come to a head, they become more obvious. We have to work out ways to make this into a progressive country, because that's our roots. People came to New Zealand, we came to New Zealand to have more freedom, more joy, more comfort, a better life. And so that's been our tradition, and we're a can-do people. We're, you know, my father-in-law built his own house. I built my own house. And now we've got a government that says, oh, no, you can't build your own house. You have to hire someone else to do it, and they have to do it like this, and they have to use these polluted materials. And when we were in the Christchurch earthquake, it wasn't the 100-year-old houses that fell down, it was the new ones. Yeah, so if you build your own house, you build a strong house, because it's your house, you want to live in it. The government can't assume control of everything. If you earn the money, you know how to spend it wisely. The government doesn't earn the money, it takes the money and it doesn't spend it wisely. We need more capacity as individuals to handle our affairs ourselves, because we know best how to manage our affairs.
Yep. It was said that the best argument for anarchism, which is anarchy, which is no rulers in Latin, is that I don't know what's best for you.
Uh-huh. That's right. You have to, and that's what the government is kind of can't admit, Vinny, that there are some things it doesn't know. You ask a politician a question about something he knows nothing about, he'll have an opinion on it. And it's a kind of disease politicians have. In fact, I think that when they select politicians, they probably put them in a room and they ask them questions about things they know nothing about. And as long as they give answers, that's okay. We'll have that guy. Sounds good.
Yeah. I always thought about politician boot camp. You know, you will not give me a direct answer to a direct question. Do you get me? Well, I think that there's a possibility that there's a consensus on the issue. And we're going, you are going to be the prime minister someday.
My daughter, Vinny, was at university studying law, and this was quite a long time ago. Jacinda Ardern came to talk to their class, and my daughter asked Jacinda, she said, what do you do if you disagree with one of the policies of your party? How do you kind of reconcile that? She said, no, I could never possibly disagree with my party. And, so when she became prime minister, it was only her opinion that could be held by the entire party. She was a fanatic in that sense. She was a fanatic and a political fanatic. Wow. And we've said goodbye to Jacinda now, and there are a lot of apologists for Jacinda. But basically, we have a country that's on its knees, and we've got a new prime minister. We'll see what he can do. But whatever he can do, he better start to draw upon the resources of the nation. And the main resource of the nation is the people. Government has to listen. That, you know, to be a leader, you have to fulfill the aspirations of your followers. When I started out, I thought the first time I ever had any responsibility in 1971 as the director of a charity, I thought you told people what to do.
Well, unfortunately,
but actually,
we're being told to wrap up the show, Guy. So thank you so much for joining me. Guy Hatcher, PhD, ladies and gentlemen, and of course Dr. Rima Labo were my very special guests. Thank you so much for joining, and go to vinnyeastwood.com if you can, please, and donate furiously today to help us out with our new baby who's going to be born like any minute now. So yeah, there's going to be a mini Vinny running around, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Guy. Thank you, Dr. Rima.
Thank you, Vinny. You keep it up.
And thank you, RepublicBroadcasting.org and the people of the United States. Thank you very much. God bless.